Microphone's out. Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Daily Devotion number 100. That's pretty exciting. I'm very surprised to get to 100. When we first started this, it was just an off-the-cuff idea because of lockdown, and it's very quickly morphed into just an ongoing reality, and I'm really glad that it can be a blessing to people. And as I said yesterday, today we're going to be celebrating our 100th birthday by giving away some prizes, and I've got some books to give away. And I'm just thinking we might do it at the end, because then if there's any latecomers, they can be for it as well. I know it's disappointing. You're going to have to wait till the end, but that's all right. We'll go through our devotion, we'll have our prayer, and then we'll come back and do the prizes and the draw. It's going to be very simple. I've got some questions you're going to have to figure out. So before we turn to the devotion, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for 100 devotions and the way that you've spoken to us and ministered to us throughout. We pray that you would continue to do so for as long as it's a blessing to people, that you would use your word and we would grow and come to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles this afternoon, we're going to be turning to 1 John once more, turning to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 6 to 12. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So far, the reading of God's Word. Well, yesterday we talked a little bit about being part of the family of God and the blessings that go along with that. And we noted, but we didn't really flesh it out, the reality that it's by faith. So God regenerates us and we have faith because of his work and we become part of the family of God. Well, if it's by faith that we enter the kingdom of God, if it's by believing, if, as the Reformers said, it's by faith alone, in grace alone, that we're saved, well, it's important for us to know what we're believing in. Well, John has told us already previously, in verse 5 actually, that we must believe in Jesus Christ. Have a look at verse 5 for a second there. It says, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So, are there any testimonies? Or are we just to have blind faith? Maybe you've heard someone use that expression before. They say, we have blind faith. I've got blind faith. And it's said like a good thing. You know, like if I've got blind faith, it means my faith is really strong. If you've got blind faith, you've got a really, really strong faith. Well, the problem with that is it doesn't really match up with the Bible, because the Bible gives us evidence. The Bible gives us reasons to believe. It gives us very strong testimonies so that our faith would not be built on nothing, but our faith would be built on sure testimonies, on sure witnesses. And so in this passage here, verse 6 to 12, John focuses on the testimony and witnesses that we have before us so that we can have a sure foundation of faith, so that we can be sure we have a rock solid belief in Jesus. And he mentions three testimonies. And the first one is a testimony called, which I've called the triple testimony. Have a look at verse 6 to 8 with me. He says that this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Now, if you're wondering what on earth John is talking about, it's understandable. It's a bit of a vague type of language, isn't it? It's a little bit vague. What is blood and what is water and what is the spirit and what's all this different stuff John's talking about? Well, as you can imagine, with something like this, there's been a lot of different arguments, a lot of different views, and if you read the commentaries, there's lots of different positions that are put forward. However, I think the best way of understanding it is seeing water as referring to baptism, blood as referring to death, and the spirit as referring to the Holy Spirit bearing testimony upon those things. So if you think about the baptism of Jesus and the death of Jesus, they're two of the strongest examples of the proof of who Jesus was. What do I mean by that? Well, think about what happened at the baptism. At the baptism of Jesus, when Jesus comes out of the water, what happens? The Spirit falls upon him, and the Father says, "This is my Son. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so John says, if you look at the water of baptism, you'll see an amazing testimony for the truthfulness of Jesus Christ. And we know it's true because some of us were there. John the Baptist, friends, probably family members, people they know. There were people who were there and witnessed that event take place. There were disciples who heard John the Baptist say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But not only is this baptism, the baptism is not the only testimony. He says the blood, and so when we move forward through the life of Christ from the beginning of his ministry through to the end, we find the death of Jesus. And of course, the death of Jesus is the culmination of all that Old Testament prophecy. And so we get the second very strong witness in this triple whammy, the second very strong testimony pointing to the fact that Jesus was in fact the Son of God. He was who he claimed to be, and that having faith in him is not doubt, but it's filled with rock solid assurance, backed up with all the scriptures. But then notice that we don't just have human examples, but the Holy Spirit bears witness with these things. In fact, these two things don't have any power without the Holy Spirit. Have a look at verse 7 and 8. He says, "There are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree." In other words, the Holy Spirit is using these two events, and these three things are coming together to form one testimony. One testimony, one very solid testimony that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that he is the Son of God. And of course, we see these throughout the Gospels, don't we, as they flesh out these realities. But we don't just have a triple testimony. As I said, there's three testimonies John mentions. The first is the triple testimony. The second is the greater testimony. Have a look at verse 9. He says, "If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he is born concerning his Son." Do you see the logic? He argues from the lesser to the greater. He says, you know, if you believe men, sometimes if a man bears witness about something. Now, he could be thinking the Gospels, like man's testimony about Jesus written down in the Gospels. But I think he's probably just throwing an argument out. Like, if you believe men, so if you're in a situation like a courtroom and there's a man who says, "Yeah, I saw the whole thing take place. Definitely saw it," and there's a group of men, and they all say, "Yeah, we all saw it too. We saw the killer." The courtroom's going to believe the testimony, aren't they? They're going to say, "Well, you're a man, we've seen you, and we've heard all that you've said, and all your testimonies have lined up in agreement." Well, John argues from the lesser to the greater. If you accept man's testimony, how much more should you accept God's testimony? God has borne witness. God has borne testimony that Jesus is his Son. And of course, he's done that through the scriptures. He's done that by his Spirit. He's done that in the water, he's done that in the blood, he's done that in the Holy Spirit. But then also he's done it, and this leads us to the third type of testimony, he's done it in us. You see, we have this external testimony of the water and the blood and the Holy Spirit. We have God-bearing testimony, and we have God-bearing testimony inside of us, what I've called the internal testimony. Have a look at 10 to 12. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of life, the Son of God, does not have life. The internal testimony. You know, it's interesting that John says in verse 10, whoever believes has the testimony. You're like, wait a second, but we need the testimony to believe. I think what John's saying is, when we come to trust in God, so we see these external things, we hear the call of the gospel and we believe. When we believe, the testimony gets confirmed inside of us by God as we put faith in Christ. And the belief and the testimony inside of us begins to bear fruit. It's a little bit like when Jesus says that he who has will be given more. And he who has not, what he has will be taken away from him. And he points to that when he says that the person who doesn't believe in God has made God out to be a liar. Which is the sense of, there's this dividing reality where the non-Christian who doesn't believe will see all the testimonies and call them nonsense. We're seeing the same information, yet the non-believer will call it nonsense. Whereas you and I, who believe, will see the testimony and believe, and upon believing, the testimony becomes more sure. Isn't that the story of your Christian life? As you've gone along, the testimony becomes more valid, more real, more certain. You don't doubt more as you go along, you doubt less, don't you? As you go through your Christian life, it's not necessarily that you gain more information, it's that the fruit of eternal life bears on your soul. And the fruit of eternal life, of knowing God, remember, eternal life is knowing God. That fruit of knowing God is the surest testimony there is. And so this, I think, raises two challenges for us. One is, do we have a sure testimony? In the sense of, am I confident and do I believe in the testimony God's given me? But then also, if I'm sure of the testimony God's given me, am I afraid to call others to believe? To put this evidence before other people? To call to the world and say, come and see the evidence for the Son of God. Well, let us be busy at believing in Jesus, but also busy in telling others about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the sure testimony that you've given us, that we don't need to doubt about whether you really did send your Son, but we can have confidence, full confidence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Don't worry, I was just about to close, but giveaway time. Very good, very exciting. Well, I have got 7 books to give away today. I hope you like books. I love books, as most of you will be aware. And I'm always looking for more books, but sometimes I like to give books away. I've got some doubles, which are some of these are, and one of them is an old book of mine. The others are all new. But what I'm going to do is, there's 5 questions here. Now, you can only receive one book, and it's only for New Zealanders. I'm sorry for all the international people that tune in, but unfortunately, it's just for New Zealanders because I don't want to pay outrageous shipping rates to America. Goes both ways, I guess. You don't ship your stuff to us because it's too expensive as well. Anyway, I've got some books for the Kiwis. So here we go. This is the way it's going to work. I've got 5 questions here. The first one to submit the correct answer to these questions gets the book. The 5th question, there are 3 books, 3 copies of the same book to give away. I'm just about to talk about the books in a second here. And then there's my email address down the bottom. So if you email, it's the only way, it's only email. You can't message me on Facebook. You have to email me the answer. Email me the answer to one of these questions. Pick the book you want. Send me the answer for that one. If no one answers one of the other questions, I'll probably just randomly pick one of the names that gave me a correct answer for one of the others for the book. I will draw this on Tuesday. So on Tuesday, I will tell you who the winners are. And I will flick you an email in response if you're a winner as well later on, so we can get your contact details and mail it through to you. And by we, I mean me. So I'm not sure why I used the plural, but that's the way it goes. So here's the books. The first book I'm giving away is The Heart of Christ. This is by Thomas Goodwin. It's an excellent book. Let me just read the blurb on the back very quickly. The Heart of Christ in Heaven Towards Sinners on Earth was first published in 1651. And it soon became Thomas Goodwin's most popular work. It is a fine example of his Christ-centeredness and his mix of theological rigor and pastoral concern. In it, he aims to show from Scripture that in all his heavenly majesty, Christ is not now aloof from believers and unconcerned, but has the strongest affections for them. How we need Goodwin and his message today if we are to be drawn from jaded, anxious thoughts of God and a love of sin. We need such a knowledge of Christ. Do you long to know the nearness of Jesus and the way Jesus Christ loves you? Beautiful book. So this is for question number one. What episode of Daily Devotions isn't stored on sermon audio? You'll have to figure that one out. So all of these, you can do whatever you want to find the answers of these. You can send messages to my wife if that helps. I don't know. You can do whatever you need to do to try and get the answers. So the second question is, what Bible colleges did I study at and for how long? So you'll have to work that one out. And for that, I'm giving away The Lord's Supper, it's here somewhere, by Thomas Watson. Just a tiny little book. It's absolutely excellent, explaining how we understand the Lord's Supper. What did it say on the back here? To Thomas Watson, the Lord's Supper was a visible sermon, a mirror in which to gaze on the sufferings and the death of Christ. God, to help our faith, does not only give us an audible word, but a visible sign. What a beautiful reality. Have you ever recognized that in the Lord's Supper? It's God preaching in picture form for people like me who are really stubborn and need a picture book. The Lord's Supper. Great one. After that, we've got how many books of the Bible have we covered so far in the daily devotions? And this is an excellent book called I Shall Not Live But Die. I should probably plug Banner of Truth, who haven't sponsored me, but they've got all the coolest books. So I Shall Not Live But Die. So this is a book which I haven't actually read yet because I bought two copies, one to give away and one to keep, but I'm saving it, as I explain, you'll understand why I'm saving it for a time when I need to read it, but I'll probably end up reading it anyway. This is a collection of blogs written by a guy who came down with a terminal sickness. So, to get the picture, where is it? Depend upon it, sir, said Dr. Samuel Johnson. When a man knows he is to be hanged in a fortnight, it concentrates his mind wonderfully. Something similar may be said of a man who is diagnosed with an incurable disease, which normally carries a prognosis of about 6 months. And as Douglas Taylor journeyed on the way to death with this sickness, he wrote blogs, and they collected them up and turned it into a book. And it's a real blessing. So apparently, I've been told it's a real blessing. So have a look through that one. The fourth one, who is my favorite living theologian and minister? So he's not one of each. He is a theologian and has been a minister. There's a clue. And the prize for that is this great little book, The Necessity of Reforming the Church by John Calvin. It was a tract written by him against the Catholic Church about justifying why the Reformation needed to happen. And it's brilliant. It will really give you another insight into why the Reformation needed to happen. One aspect of it was the reality, actually not of truth, but of worship, the true worship of God. Let me read one of my favorite little sections from this book. So this is my copy I read through, but I didn't write in it. Actually, it got given to me by Arthur Palmer. I just closed my page I was going to read. I got given to me by Arthur Palmer, so you've got his signature in the front there. If you don't know who Arthur Palmer is, you're missing out on one of the most godly ministers I've met. He is just an amazing man. He's still alive, actually. Great soul. I still love visiting him because it's such an encouragement. Let's see if I'm able to very quickly find the place where I was at, because I really wanted to read it to you. Bear with me. I feel like I'm getting close. That, I've already gone past it, and this is a very sad day. Oh, I have gone past it, which means I'm in the right direction. Here we go. Let me find it, because it's worth reading. Relics. Oh, this is good. Relics. As to the matter of relics, it is almost incredible how impudently the world has been cheated. I can mention three relics of our Saviour's circumcision. I have to read that again. I can mention three relics of our Saviour's circumcision. Likewise, 14 nails, which are exhibited for the three by which he was fixed to the cross. Three robes for that seamless one on which the soldiers cast lots. Two inscriptions that were placed over the cross. Three spears by which our Saviour's side was pierced. And about five sets of linen clothes which wrapped his body in the tomb. It's just such a good, it's like, honestly, this book is absolutely brilliant, so I encourage you to go for that one. And the other one, the fifth one, is just, how have the daily devotions blessed you? I'd just love to hear from you, and even if you're not going for a book, I'd love to hear that anyway. It's great encouragement. I might read some of them out as well, but if the daily devotions has been an encouragement to you in any way, please share that with me. And I'm going to be giving away this. Around the Wicket Gate, I've got three copies of it. I have given away probably 20 of these. They are absolutely worth their weight in gold. One of my elders at my church said this book converted him, and many people have been converted by it, even if you're a Christian. So it says help for those who only know about Christ, don't know Christ, but they know about Christ. All my kids have read this, and it's been an intense blessing for them. I've read this. It's blessed me a lot. And it's all about the importance of really having a knowledge of Christ that's personable and relational. So there's three of those up for grab. The first three people to tell me the way that the Daily Dose, God, I'm thinking of Daily Dose of Greek, which is a great thing, by the way, if you know Greek. Anyway, there's some books to give away. I'll be looking forward to hearing your answers. Flick them through to me on email and I'll announce the winners on Tuesday. Well, I hope you have the most blessed afternoon. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Enjoy your worship on Sunday. Have a great evening and a great afternoon. Good night.